Okay, good evening, everybody. Monday night, Shaare Tzion, 9 p.m. That's where we hold these little get-togethers. Men and women are invited. We follow it upbeat. We love our sponsors. Anybody interested, dial 718-375-1023. This is not really a class about the parasha, although it is a class about the parasha tonight. Because the proofs for the principles I want to teach are very strongly represented by the events of the story of Yosef and the Achim, his brothers, the Shevatim HaKdoshim. When people study these parashiyot, the questions that we get are unbelievable. There's just so many different confusing situations. There's spiritual conflict. There's the dynamics of the personalities and the relationships. And there's the lessons in Midot. And yearly we study the unfolding of the events and we're amazed by a new question or two, a new detail, a new fact, a new facet, which makes the familiar new again. Tonight, rather than tell the story or delve into its intricacies, which is pretty good class too, I want to heighten our sensitivity to, it's actually two different subjects that I'm going to make one. So the first part of it would be called Hashkacha Peratit. The individual divine providence that Hashem watches, knows, and is in charge of everything. And we go through our daily lives, deep down in our hearts, very aware that Hashem is in charge. We're definitely sure He's in complete charge of the control of history. No king is born, no president elected, no government rises or falls without the royal decree from Shemayim. Look at the story of Yosef. The age of 18, 17 plus, he's sold by his brothers into slavery. After a short time in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, he then spends 12 years in jail. So now he's 30. Pasuk tells us that's how old he was when he interpreted Paro's dreams. Then there's 7 years of plenty, then 2 years of famine. The seven never really finished. Before his family came down, I mean, it was 7 years, but his family came down. And it's 22 years later. His father Yaakov comes to Egypt with his entire family. And all of that is only a tiny bit of Hashem's plan to begin the Galut in Mitzrayim, the exile in Egypt. And that is a prelude to Yetziat Mitzrayim and Kiryat Yam Suf, splitting of the sea, and Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Let me give you some examples in these stories, this little piece of it, that shows Hashem's control over every little thing. It says in the Pasuk, Vayeshvu Lecholechem, as Bedins were wont to do in those days, when they made a legal decision, a verdict, they used to sit down and eat bread, break bread. Vayisu enehem, they lift up their eyes. Vayiru vihineh orechat Yishmaelim ba'ah. Migilad. They see a caravan of Yishmaelim coming from a place called Gilad. Ugmalehem nosim nechor v'tzori valot. And the camels are carrying freight, merchandise. Potpourri, actually, I think it's called now, TJ Maxx. That little stuff that they put in the bathroom that smells nice. Nice smelling perfumes. Holchim lehorid mitzrayma, that they're taking down to Egypt. Now, Rashi tells us, very interesting point. You know, the Torah is eternal, it's a teaching book, and yet it describes the bill of lading. What were they carrying? So Rashi says, Lama pesema katuv et masa'am? Why did the Pasuk tell us exactly what they were carrying? To teach us the reward that Hashem pays to the righteous. She'en dakam shel aravim laset ela naft ve'etran shelecham ra. Usually they carry different types of fuels, oils, in those oil-rich countries which were oil-rich even then. And it smells ra. Sounds good, huh? Ra, ra sounds like it smells. It smells ugh. Oof. It was a point that Hashem controlled to put nice smelling perfumes on the caravan so the Sadiq Yosef wouldn't suffer unnecessarily. Now you got to remember, he's sold in chains, he's taken from a pit with scorpions and snakes, his coat was ripped, it was dipped in blood, he was treated cruelly by his brothers, he pleaded and they wouldn't let him go. So, perfume. It's so Hashem could send the signal, I'm with you. All that's going on here, this unusual freight that they're carrying, is part of my plan. All this is part of the plan, don't worry. Next incident. It probably hit the Cairo Times in the morning. Yosef, the young Jewish slave, ex-prisoner, interpreted the dreams of Paro that nobody else could decipher. And the king makes him the royal minister in charge of everything, second in command only to Paro himself. And he changed his name. And the king called him Safinat Paneach. That minor fact would be a small part of the fabulous story of the interpretation of the wine steward's dream, the baker's dream, and the king's dream, which was much more interesting. But 9 years later, 9 years, you've got to get the time frame here. 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine. 9 years. 9 years later, it says in the Pasuk, Bayar Yosef et Echav Ayakirem. Yosef saw his brothers and he recognized them. Behem lo hakiru. They didn't recognize him. Well, he wasn't called Yosef the Jew. Paro's little thought to change his name was part of concealment of one of the stars of the story from his brothers so that the plan could come to fruition. We discussed a little bit last week. Maybe we didn't. Maybe it was this class. It's another class. I get confused which class I met. I know I mentioned this recently. It was after these events. Chateu mashke melech Mitzrayim ve'afe ladonehem lemelech Mitzrayim. The wine steward and the royal baker sinned against the king. Rashi, what does it mean after these things? What things? Lefi shehigila ota arura et asadik befi kula medaber bo. This woman who accused Yosef of the unmentionable, who screamed that horrible four-letter word about him and got him arrested. It was a big scandal. It was the talk of the town. Hashem knows human nature. You see somebody on the street, what do you tell him? Hey, what's new? Oh, that? No, I heard that already. What else you got? The old news is stale. People like new and exciting and improved products. Not like your old toothpaste. It's new, it's better. So what did Hashem do? Yosef was accused and thrown in jail, and they start talking about him. This poor Sadiq, look at all Lashon Hara about him. So you know what Hashem does? Let me make a new scandal. Did you hear about the wine store? Did you hear about the baker? And also, it had a second motive. And Hashem's intricate plan, it was one of the means for getting him out of jail. What were their crimes? Chat'u, it says. They made a sin. Rashi tells us. Zenim sa zivuv b'fayle paiterin shelo v'zenim sa siro b'giluskin shelo. A fly was found in a cup of wine served for the king, and a pebble was found in some of the royal bread or cookies. Why were the two arrested? Why not one? That one you didn't ask. How come two were arrested? Why not one? The guy gets out, he goes, he tells the king, this young Jew, the slave, the boy, he interpreted my dream, he gets out. What do you need two for? Says the Sistei Chachamim, Tiyaya poter l'sar ha-mashkim tov, if he told a good interpretation to the wine steward, you know what he would say? Haya choshev sar ha-mashkim shedarko bazeh lachanif lamar tavot lebnei adam. This guy doesn't interpret dreams. He tells everybody a good interpretation. Aval kasher pata l'sar ha-ofim ra l'sar ha-mashkim tov, since he had a good report and a bad report about the two dreams. Now he saw not everybody's the same. It gave credence and validity to the authenticity of his powers. But why the fly in the cup and the stone in the bread? How do we know it wasn't the opposite? Maybe a stone in the wine and a fly in the bread, which wouldn't make much difference. The king would probably be just as upset. Sifter HaRamim mentions, Dilma Ifchahava, maybe it was the opposite. And the answer is, you have to say it was that way specifically. Why? Because if it came out the opposite, and the pebble was in the wine and the fly was in the bread, then you'd say, why was this one hanged and that one released? Because, correct, if a fly is found in a glass of wine, there's no cause for hanging the wine steward. What can you do about it? You know, it's a kitchen, there's flies flying around, and one of them might have just slipped into a cup when he turned his back to get another glass or a tray. He can't watch 100% of the time to keep flies out of the wine. So he's called anus, beyond his control. But the baker, when you find a pebble or a stone in the bread whose flour he sifted, maybe he should have cleaned out the oven better, or maybe sifted the flour more carefully. But I'm bringing that up just as a little aside. What I want you to notice here, and I want you to consider carefully, is don't rush and miss the full flavor of these incidents. Hashem's plan was to bring the Jewish people down to Egypt. The Midrash tells us Yaakov could have been brought down in chains, but Hashem preferred to draw him down gently and respectfully. And so the entire story of Yosef transpired. They say it's a mashal of a mother cow that they want to leave a pen or an area or come into a pen. So they make the calf cry and the mother comes willingly to the baby's assistance. Look at the fly and the pebble. Paying attention? 11 years or more before Yaakov comes down to Egypt, Hashem uses two messengers, two of his tools. From his holy throne, the command goes out. The fly into the cup, the pebble into the bread. All part of his plan. Say Chazal, Al Yedei HaKol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Shlichuto. Hashem uses everything as his messenger. Even Nechashim v'akravim, even snakes and scorpions. We all know the story of Rabbi Akiva. Kolma David Rahamana Letav David. All that Hashem does is for the best. He's traveling. He has his rooster. He has his candle and he has his donkey. He goes to a town and nobody gives him a place to sleep. He's forced to go out, I guess, to the suburbs, to the surrounding area. And the wind blows out his fire. So he's left without the fire for light or warmth. Cat or some of the feline family comes and kills his chicken, his rooster. And a lion kills his donkey. And so he sleeps in the cold, dark, alone, with a not so great tomorrow on the horizon, out in the woods. But at each turn that seemed to be bad, he says, Kolma David Rahamana Letavavid. Or we say, Gamzu Letova. All that Hashem does is for the best, doesn't affect me. That night, a battalion of marauders attacked the city he wanted to sleep in, the village he wanted to sleep in, killed the people, took their possessions and left. And had the noise upset his rooster or his donkey, or had they seen a fire, his life would have been in danger. And when he found out what happened, he confirmed, Kolma David Rahamana Letabavit. Every little incident is under Hashem's control. In 1917, end of World War I, famous revolution in Russia. The Bolsheviks were taking power. And they weren't too nice of a crew. A lot of marauders, a lot of death without trial, a lot of injustice. When you have barbarians at war, that's what happens. Well, in one of the more peaceful areas, or one that seemed to be under control by the other side, there was a jeweler. And he had an early appointment to make a big sale. So he got up and he rushed towards the city. As he passed a small building, a man was standing at the door looking for a tenth man for a minyan. As he looked for the tenth man, this man hurried by with his briefcase full of merchandise. Basically, all he possessed in inventory, his jewels. And the man said, we need a tenth man. He figured, you know, I got a few minutes. I'll come in. And when he came into the small synagogue, he realized he wasn't the tenth, he was third. So I told him, listen, you know, I'm only the third one here, and I do have an important appointment. I gotta go. He said, no, they're coming any minute. You're the tenth man. And so he sat down patiently, and he waited 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 minutes. And another two people showed up. Now they had half a minyan. Well, to make a long story short, because we have a lot to cover tonight. More than a little while later, they still only had 9. And he told the man, I realize it's important to you. And I realize you tried your best. But I have to go. It's important. I left early. My leeway has been lost, hanging around here. And if I rush, I could still make my appointment. And I cannot afford to miss it. And he said, if it was your yahrzeit, how would you feel if there were 9? You're the 10th man. Feeling guilty, he went back in. He sat down. The 10th man did arrive shortly thereafter. The brief prayer seemed like hours. And when they were finally done with the last Kaddish, he passed on the schnapps and the cake. And he started rushing towards the city center where his appointment was scheduled. And not more than a block from the synagogue, he saw people running in the opposite direction towards where he was, not where he was going. And he grabbed one man by the arm and said, what's the matter? He said, run for your life. The Bolsheviks are in town. They're killing everybody and robbing everything in sight. And the man turned with his briefcase full of jewels and ran. And when he finally caught his breath, he realized, what if I were in the city on time? He was happy to be the 10th man. So cute story today in Rabbi Shwadron's Sefer Lev Shalom, Alav Shalom. And he said one time he went to a doctor. And because the doctor was so busy that day, I don't know if he was used to our doctors, you don't have to be busy, just running late. Most of us have learned to call up first, how's he running today? And she said, oh, not so bad. And you get there, you still wait 2.5 hours. So he's sitting in the office, and when the scheduled hours finished, and the other patients were done, he finally got into the office for his special need. And while he was sitting being examined, a father and his son came rushing in to the office, and the boy's eyes and forehead was swollen. It was even hard, said Rabbi Shwadron, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, to even look at the child. And so the doctor turned and he administered first aid to the wounds. And after first aid was done, he arranged for the child and the father to be transported to the local hospital. When he finished, he turned back to take care of the rabbi. And the rabbi said, what hashkaha! What divine providence! Imagine if you weren't running late and you weren't so busy and I didn't have an appointment and I wasn't patient enough to wait, you wouldn't be here to help that child and to help the father who seems so concerned. Isn't it amazing what hashkacha? The way Hashem worked everything out for the benefit of that child. The doctor, who was the rabbi's regular doctor, didn't feel like at the end of a long day getting into an argument. So he just smiled and said, "You're right, Rabbi. Except one little difference. If I were to tell the story, you call it Hashkacha, divine providence and control. I call it Mazal, luck." So as the doctor continued to rush through the examination to try and finish his day, the rabbi started to talk about the magnificent new set of wheels he saw in the driveway. He told him, "That's a beautiful machine out there. Is it new? I like the color. I like the model." And then he said, substituting for the name of it, "You know, that Mazal company really makes a good car. It's amazing." The doctor stopped immediately and said, "Rabbi, you're right. It is a great car, but it's a Mercedes. It's not a Mazal." The rabbi said, "I know what it is, but I call it a Mazal." He says, "Rabbi, are you cracking up? Shall I refer you to a psychiatrist?" He said, "No. I didn't become crazy. I just became a doctor." When you realize everyone and everything is only a shaliach from Hashem, then you won't bear any ill feelings towards anyone. We did pretty good tonight. It's only 9:30. We're 28 minutes into the recording. 28 minutes and 4 seconds. And we got to tonight's subject. How'd you like the introduction? Good? Okay. Now all you latecomers know you didn't miss anything. Says Yosef to his brothers, "Ve'ata, and now, Lo atem shelachtem otiena. It's not you, my brothers, who sent me here to Mitzrayim. Ki ha'elokim. It was Hashem." We learn an amazing, amazing ma'ala. Fine point, a lofty point of the personality of Yosef HaTzadik. It wasn't enough that he forgave his brothers, those that threw him into the pit with the snakes and the scorpions. Adaraba, as they say in yeshiva, fakert. Quite the contrary. He consoled them and he encouraged them. He said, "You didn't do bad to me. You were great. You took care of Hashem's plan and made it happen. It was all for the best." this level is expressed also in another pasuk. Ani Yosef Achichem. I am Yosef, your brother. I didn't see the play. That must be a great line. I think it's asur to see the play. Not because of the singing and the dancing. Because of how it portrays Yosef HaSadiq and his brothers. And I didn't see it, but I know it's not the right interpretation. And it's not the right respect. So maybe the music's good and the album may sell a lot of copies. Stay away. The greats of the Bible and Hollywood and Broadway do not go together. It's just a principle. So without seeing it, Baruch Hashem, I still suffer from my youth when there was a horrible travesty called Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. Moses, Moses. I still suffer from the wounds and scars of that movie. So I could tell you, if it's Broadway or Hollywood and Torah, stay away. They have no concept. That's asterisk. We leave that on the tape just for those who like to say, oh, he already said, wow. He didn't even see it. I don't talk that way. Anyhow, he says, I am Yosef, your brother, Hashem Echartem Oti. You sold me. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Kach amar lehem Yosef, Mitnaheg ani emachem b'minat ha'achva. I'm going to treat you like my brother. I'm going to still act like your brother. Ki'ilu lo haya devar ha'mechira me'olam. As if the sale of me into slavery by you never took place. And then says the Or HaChaim an amazing comment. Va'afilu bizman ha'mechira lo kata ayin achva mimeni. And even while it was happening, I loved you all like a brother. This trait, this power of the soul, called Ma'avir al Midotav, let it slide. It don't matter. I don't know how to translate Ma'avir al Midotav. But not to be affected by what people do to you in a negative way and react in a hurt way. It takes so much power of the soul to reach this level. Misilat Yisharim says, Misilat Yisharim, Hasin'ah v'nikama kashe me'od imalet mimena. Sin'ah, hatred. Nikama, revenge. Very hard to escape. And he continues, continues. Ki ha'adam margish me'od be'bonotav u'mitztayes har gadol. A person feels it, the embarrassment, the hurt. And it's hard to ignore the pain a person feels emotionally. Ve'hanekama lo mituka midvash. Mesilat Yisharim. Revenge is sweeter than honey. They steal everything from us. Therefore, continues the Ramchal, Al ken kishiye bekocho la'azov mashitiv o machriach oto v'yavor amidotav. Therefore, when it's in his power to turn away from what his built-in, intrinsic nature forces a person to do, and the person lets it slide, lets it pass, doesn't let it upset them. V'lo yisna mishir bo asina, and doesn't hate the one who did something to arouse the hate. V'lo yikom mimeno bizdamen lo shiuchal inakem, and the person doesn't take revenge when the opportunity lends itself for revenge. V'lo yitor lo, and doesn't even hold a grudge inside. Ela hakol yishkach, forgets everything. And he wipes it out as if it never happened. Hare hazak la'amitzu. Powerful. No steroids. In fact, the Ramchal, it's an interesting sidelight to this. Doing this is simple for an angel, because they don't have these midot of kin'ah and sin'ah and tachrut. And they don't have emotions and feelings to be hurt. Not for people. Amazing. He said, this is not for people. People are not, people don't act this way. However, he points out, gizerat ha-melechu, you're not allowed. It's interesting, if Hashem commands it, that means you can do it. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanta Zecher Tzadik Lefra goes one step further. He says there's a klal of Chazal, a principle expressed by our sages. Ma'aseh mosi midei ma'chashava, ve'en ma'chashava mosi midei ma'aseh. An action can wipe something out of your mind, but your mind can never erase an action. When a person feels that somebody else embarrassed them or hurt their feelings, even if the person forgives, there's still something left. Fadlat, there's leftovers in the soul. Inside the heart, a little complaint, a little grudge. And what Rabbi Yisrael is trying to tell us, in order to get that out, that last remnant, the noten tam, you have to do something good to the person, or good for the person who hurt you, or you'll never get rid of it. Darush ma'aseh hatava b'fo'al. A person must, it's required, that there be a positively good act, sheyitav im ha'adam shepagabu, to actually do something good for the person who hurt them. That's what it means, ma'aseh Motzi midei machashava. Look at yourself again. He worked on developing good feelings for his brothers. He tried to convince them they did not sin against him. And he told them, you did good for me. And therefore there's no reason for you, as he saw their frightened, depressed looks, to be frightened or depressed. Instead, I want you to know I consider it a big favor. David HaMelech. Tehillim, very beginning of the book, Perek Zayin, 7th chapter. Im gamalti sholemira, chaletza sorri rekam. The Nezra tells us, this is what David meant. It's not enough that I paid bad to one who did bad to me. Tit for tat. Ela od ha'chaletza sorri rekam. I didn't pay bad to someone who did bad for me. Gamalti lo tova tachat ra. I did him a favor somehow. I did good for him. In fact, the Pilei Yoetz is a fantastic chiddush. It's kind you can repeat all week long. It says in the pasuk, "Lo tisnat achicha bilvavecha." Don't hate your brother in your heart. Don't hold a grudge. Da'avta l'racha kamocha. Pasuk continues, "You should love your friend like yourself." Now the pasuk really didn't have to command that you should love someone who never did anything to you. Because why should you hate him? Maybe he's not good, but he's at least parv. Right? You know parv people. They don't affect you one way or the other. In fact, this day and age, if they're just parv, you should like them. So the pasuk must be speaking about someone who did wrong to you. And therefore the Torah tells you, the one who did wrong to you, lo tisnachi al vavecha, not only shouldn't you hold a grudge and hate him, ve'avta lecha kamocha, you have to do something good for him. I'm talking about the guy you don't like. And continues the Pilaret to clarify what I said a couple of minutes ago. Mi shochel marim yachol lirok matok. Someone who eats bitter can't spit out sweet. Aval kevan shesivanu ken yotzrenu. Since Hashem commanded us to act this way. Shema mina. We learn from here. Shudavar hayachol it kayem. It can be done. Shereilon itna Torah malachei asharet. The Torah was not given to angels, it was given to human beings. Ve'en ha-kadosh baruch hu ba'betroniyav en bireotav. He doesn't give you things to trip you up. He doesn't tell you things you cannot do. Ela, says the Pilei Yoetz, Tzarich tircha gedola v'atmada rabba lachshov mahashavot. You need a regular, constant attention paid to this subject. Everything is for the best of the person. Nobody can hurt you. Or even help you. Or take from you. A hair's breadth. Beli gezerat hakadosh baruch hu. And now we combine the two subjects. We talked about Ashkaha Peratit, and we talked about letting it slide. It's all one subject. For a person to let things slide, he has to realize that everything comes from Hashem. Yosef's strength. Where did he get it? They're throwing him in a pit with snakes and scorpions. They ripped off his prized possession, the Ketonet Pasim. They're going to go back to his father and tell him he's dead. They're selling him, I don't know what they look like, but they were not nice looking people. These truck drivers carrying freight to Mitzrayim. And throughout the whole incident of begging, please don't. The brothers later admitted perhaps we were too cruel to him. And yet Or HaChaim HaKadosh told us not one ounce, not one hint of hate, only brotherhood and brotherly love. Where does he get that strength? It's only source. This is Emunah. Yosef lived every moment knowing everything is from Hashem. Gemara chulin en adam nokef etzpao milemata. A person doesn't bang a finger down here on earth. Ela em ken machrizim alam min mala. Unless it was declared and decreed up above. And as he said, Lemechiya shelachane okim lefechem, Hashem sent me in front of you. So that everybody could survive. You were just messengers from him to do. Sefer HaChinuch says, when you look up the mitzvah of Lo Tikom Lo Titor, don't take revenge and don't have a grudge. Sheyeda Adam V'yiten El Libo, person should know and drive it home to his heart. Kol HaShikrahu Motav Adra. Anything that happens to him, whether it looks good or bad, it's something that happened to him directly from Hashem. And nothing can happen unless Hashem wants it to happen. When a person bothers him or torments him, he should know truly in his heart, Avanotav garmu. It's your sins that caused it. Hashem itbarach gazar alav bikach. And Hashem was the one who sent this. Don't give a thought to revenge, he suggests. Because the person you want to take revenge upon has nothing to do with it. Ha'avon hu ha'misodev. The sin is the cause. It's your own shortcoming. Hanichu lo vikalel. Leave him alone, David HaMelech said to his officers as they reached for their swords to kill Shimei ben Gera, who came out on the road to curse him. Ki amar lo Hashem. Hashem told him to do it. Pichani ben den dosa, zecha tzadik levracha. He's called to a city. There's a recession. Business is terrible. At the gates of the city, there's an arod, or arvad, Chamovadja says. A poisonous type of snake. And it's living in a hole by the gates of the city. Whoever attempts to come to go shopping, snake bites and kills. So business is off drastically. It's worse than 9/11. Too many people being scared away from the center of town. They call Rabbi Hanina ben Dosai. He comes, he puts his foot on the hole, the snake bites him. And the snake dies. Tell him, Rebbe, what happened here? Poisonous snake killed a lot of people. You bit you, it died. It's not the snake that kills, it's the sin that kills. En Aaron nemit el achet. Rabbi Yehuda Hasid in Sefer Hasidim tells a story. There was a person who used to aggravate the Chacham, the Rebbe. People told the rabbi, this man's sin is so great. You have to take action. And the rabbi said, I don't blame him. It's my sins that are causing this. They told him it's a mitzvah to punish him. If I wanted to punish, I should punish myself, he answered. Halokim matzah et avon avadecha. Hashem found my sin, then he sent me this aggravating person. Said Yehuda to Yosef, I know one of your guys planted the cup in Binyamin's bag. I know it. But Elokim matzah et avon avadecha. But Hashem made you do it. Rav Haskel Novenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, this midah of Ma'avir Midotav is not easy to achieve. But it was the emunah of Yosef that enabled him to do it. Do you know Yaakov Avinu, before he died, called in Yosef, who visited him upon his sickbed. And he told him, and when I was on the road, Rachel died, and I buried her there, Bederech Be'efrat, famous Kibar Rachel on the road. And Rashi says, Yadati sheyesh b'lecha alai. I know you feel badly towards me because I buried your mother there rather than taking her to Ma'arat HaMachpelah. I know what you're feeling. But no, da. Al pi adibur kibarti Hashem. Hashem inspired me and told me to bury her there so she'd be available to help her children years later. He was afraid, Yaakov. Perhaps Yosef would have some kapidah, some grudge, some complaint. Even if it was in the depths of his heart that he didn't bury his mother with the imahot. So he told him, Hashem told me to do it. And by telling him that, he felt, once he knows it's Hashem, he won't hold it against me. And the Chovot HaLevavot puts a beautiful twist on this. Al Ha'adam Lahavin, a person should know, Shekasheh Mekabel Tova Mimandehu, when a person gets some good from someone, Hashem sent him to do good to you. It's still not him. So while you're saying thank you, before you thank the person, thank Borei Olam. I want to encourage you to work on this difficult midah. You know what gives us the power to survive against the people of Esav? the power of Yosef. The Midrash in Yalkut Shimoni says, Masoret Agadahu Biyadenu. It's a tradition. She'en Esav Nofer Biyad Baneh Asher Rachel. Esav can only be conquered by the children of Rachel, not the children of Leah Bilhah Zilpah. Lama, why, says the Midrash? She'im Baim Ashivatim Ladinim Esav Lomalo. If the Shivatim should come to argue the case with Esav and tell him, why did you chase your brother Yaakov? He's your brother. Esav answers, why did you chase Yosef, your brother? You're no better than me. But when Esav comes to Yosef and says, why did you chase after your brothers and put them through all the changes? While Yosef says, why did you chase Yaakov? Esav can't answer. Because he didn't chase his brothers. If you want to say, Esav, hey, Yaakov did bad to you, he stole your blessings. He stole your firstborn rights. Maybe that's why you chased him. My brothers did bad to me. They threw me in a pit and they sold me into slavery. But you know what I did? I consoled them. I encouraged them. I fed them. I gave them an escape hatch from a famine. I did nothing but good to them in return. That's Yosef. Bet Yosef Lehava. It's a flame in the face of the straw of Esav. And who does he come from? Rachel Imenu. Who knows that her sister Leah is taking her husband. The dream to be the matriarch of the Jewish people. And she gives her the simanim. I'm not going to say she hurt me. I'm not going to say she has no right to do it. I'm going to help her do it. The Shit Chokhmah puts it in perspective. In his chapter on Anava, Achar Shepirat Kol HaMa'alot, after he tells you all the great points about being Ma'avir HaMidotav, letting things slide, he says, V'achar Shitponen Adam B'chol HaMa'alot Sheyesh Ma'avir HaMidotav. After you see how fine it is, how refined it is, how great it is, Yireh Ki Yoter Ra'ui Lo L'Sposar Mu'at. It's better to suffer a little B'Shvil Sechar Merubeh. For the great reward it brings. Lo le'afsid berega kol ha'malot. V'yigrom efsed nurebe. Don't blow it. How much a person has to think. The Zohar tells a story, but this will close. Rabbi Abba, Rav Abba, was sitting at the gates of the city of Lod. And he saw a man who was tired from a day's work, sitting in a little cove, side of a mountain, resting in the shade. And the man fell asleep. A poisonous snake approached the man. And a piece of wood, or log, or branch, fell from the side of the cliff and killed the snake. And the man woke up and saw the dead snake under the log right by his feet. He got up and moved away. And as soon as he left, the little cove, the alcove, collapsed like a rock slide where he was sitting moments before. Rav Abba was in shock. The snake missed, the rocks missed, and he said to himself, what did this man do to deserve these miracles? Not being shy, he walked up and he asked him, Ma ma'asim tovim, what good have you done to deserve these two miracles? Hashem saved you from the snake and from the rock slide. The man answered, Kol yamai lo kara shi'aseh li adam ra'ah. Nobody ever hurt me or insulted me. Asher lo hitratzeti ma'achalti lo, that I did not immediately appease and forgive. Lo natati sinah avraot she'asu li. I didn't hate for the bad they did to me. And not only that, from the day a person hurt me, get this flip, or as they say in business, the spin. Not only from that day forward that they hurt me, Hayiti mishtadel lasot imakniti tovot. The one who hurt me, the one who aggravated, the one who insulted me, the one who hurt my feelings, I only try to do good for them. When Rabbi Abba heard this, he said in tears, Gedolim ma'ase Yehudi ze yoter miYosef haTzadik. This person's deeds are greater than Yosef HaSadiq. Were it not for the Zohar, I couldn't say it. But he explains, Ki etzel Yosef mitzarav ayu ahav. The ones who hurt him were his brothers. V'ayalo l'rachem aleihem. And a brother should have mercy on a brother. V'ilu adam ze nohe ken in kol adam v'adam. This person said, there was never a person I didn't treat this way. Stranger and brother alike. Im ken ra'uyu shakadosh shiru yakre lo nes al nes. Therefore Hashem did him a nes, and another nes, and who knows how many does for him over and over. One time, a rabbi called Rabbi Gedalia Dessler, who was a Tamid of Saba Mikelm, found a silver cup missing from his home. And of course, the suspicion fell on one of the workers in the house, a young man, who was doing some handiwork around the house. And in the end, he admitted and cried, yes, I took it, I took it. And he said, I needed it. He had a loan he had to pay. And so he stole the cup. I didn't have a choice, he claimed. And I felt that one day I would pay you back. Please forgive me. The Rabbi Gedalia, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, didn't tell anybody about the incident. He didn't want to embarrass the thief. And in spite of what happened to him, he did let him go from his employment. But he decided to help him financially and let him get out from under his debt and live with kavod. How does Hashem reward a person who does that? As time went on, as he helped this young man, this is the outcome. during the Russian Revolution, when the communists took power, Rabbi Gedaliah was accused of a crime, horrible crime. He had a typewriter or a printing type of machine. Everybody has a printer now, but in those days it was a propaganda machine. And he was arrested for owning it, not for writing anything, for owning it. And the penalty was death. His family was in fear, trembling, and his wife tried to reach some government officials in Petersburg and tried to get him some help. When the woman found herself in the office amongst many government officials and officers, she saw a young man she recognized, the one the rabbi had helped. And over the years, he had risen through the ranks to a high position in the Communist Party. And when he heard about the horrible decree of death, the verdict and sentence of his benefactor, he immediately traveled to the place where Rav Gedaliah was to sign his release. And he helped them escape outside the borders of Russia. Hashkacha piratit, midah keneged midah, ma'avir amidotav. Where do you use that? It's all one. If you know Hashem is in charge, if you know Hashem is doing everything, and I mean everything, when somebody does good to you, you thank them, but you thank Hashem. And when somebody does what you perceive as bad, it's still good for you, by the way, but if you perceive it as bad, don't hold a grudge. Hashem sent them. They're only a messenger. They're only a tool. That's tonight's lesson. The power to be ma'avir amidotav, the power to let things slide, comes from the power of emunah, from the power of belief in Hashem's hashkacha, in all that is and all that we do. Hashem is in charge. In every little detail, Hashem is in charge. And if a person wants to benefit in the long run, live by that credo. Let it slide. See you next week.